CoachingCouch.com. Streaming wellness into your lives.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Karen's Couch. And oh, you know what I'm like. You know I'm easily excited, but this week I have to say, I just feel like I've hit the jackpot. You see, a lot of you guys often ask me about some of the things that I study and the rabbit holes that I go down and all of the different philosophies that I explore and how it is that I know what I know. And, you know, today, especially on Karen's Couch, I really wanted to introduce you to somebody who I've been following for about 3 or 4 years, or probably about 3 years, and I discovered this guy because I went down the rabbit hole of Advaita. Now, a lot of you guys have already heard me speak about Advaita, which is simply an Eastern philosophy, and the words Advaita mean not two, which, you know, you can also term as oneness. And you've heard me talk about this and you've heard me mention these words before, but today I thought I'd be pretty clever, actually. I thought I would introduce you to somebody who really was part of my initiation, part of my wake up. When I started to understand more of what oneness and Advaita was, and it was something that just happened. It was kind of like a revelation. It was like a momentary blink of an eye where I realized that the life that I was living, while it looked really good on the outside and everybody else thought it was a really terrific life, on the inside, I was feeling a world of turmoil and push and pull and fight and struggle and strain. And I got to the point where I just couldn't do it anymore. I just could not live inside of the skin that I was living in and call that magical. And I didn't know where my answers were going to come from. I didn't know how to find the right answer. All I knew is that I just wasn't prepared to wake up every day freaked out about whether my business was going to survive. I wasn't prepared to wake up every day freaked out about whether I'd have enough money to pay my mortgage, pay my cars, run my credit cards, all that sort of stuff. So I decided that the life that I was living was not the reason that I was put here. And if that was true for me, then that truth has to be true for everybody, not just me. So I went on a pilgrimage, if you like. I went on this ferocious search. But when I found oneness, what I found was the truth about myself. And I read the Tao Te Ching. And if any of you guys have read the Tao Te Ching, one of the very first verses in the Tao Te Ching says, the Tao that can be named is not the Tao. And I found with this study of oneness, it's something that I just couldn't put language to, because the moment I put language to it to try and explain it to my mom or my sister, it kind of dissolved and it lost its potency. But then I discovered today's guest. And I watched some footage of a conference called SAND, which is Science and Non-Duality. Google it, everybody. I've got all of their CDs and DVDs. Google it. All the information you can want is so easily accessible. But I found today's guest, and get ready for his name, and I'm going to say it slowly because I really want you all to start following him and watching his YouTube videos and signing up to his website. All of his information is free. So there's no gimmick here, and there's nothing that we're trying to sell. What we're trying to do is wake you up. So today's guest is the name of Bentinho Massaro. Bentinho, thank you so much for joining me today on Karen's Couch, and thank you for being a light that I've been able to follow over the last 3 years, and your ability to articulate what this is all about and bring it down into, as we were talking about before the show, practical steps that people can really use as a launch pad is extraordinary. And I think it really makes you one of the greatest gifts to humanity right now. So thank you so much for joining me on the show. I'm super keen to get into a conversation with you.
Sweet. Thank you, Karen. Lovely to be here.
So, Bentinho, why don't you tell our listeners about, well, explain to them what oneness is. Tell them about what it is and why it's part of the already always happening, and it's the way to end the search.
So
let's just start with something simple, shall we?
Yeah, why not? Let's get right to it. So oneness, in my experience, is the first of all, it's not a thought, right? In fact, thought kind of has the tendency to cloud the experience, the direct realization of oneness. So it's not a thought, it's not a concept, it's not an idea. It's the state of the universe, we could say, or it's the state of existence itself. And there's tons of ways to describe ways into oneness. So I'll just start somewhere and see what resonates. Oneness can be described as the fact that you as consciousness are the meeting point of all potential realities. So let me make that a little more practical. Yeah. Right now you are aware of my voice, correct?
Correct.
So there is an effortless awareness of the fact that I'm speaking. Even if you're not focused on it, there's an effortless registering of what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So yes. So you can't turn off your consciousness right now. You can't stop existing. You can't stop being present to this conversation. You have to be here, basically. You are present. Yes. As consciousness. So there's this consciousness, this deep state of our consciousness, which is always already there. It's always already present. Doesn't matter how many thoughts we have. Doesn't matter how many emotions come up. Doesn't matter how many challenges we generate for ourselves in our everyday lives. There's always this presence present. There's always this presence consciousness, as I call it, that's awake to this moment, right? So let's use that as a starting point. So people can tune into that right now as they're listening by taking a deep breath. And for 2 to 5 seconds, I often say, just completely give away all your thoughts. Give them back to God, give them back to life, give them back to source, whatever you want to say, but disown your own thoughts. Give up the right to hold on to thinking for a moment and worrying and having ideas. Just 2 to 5 seconds, take a deep breath. And on the exhalation, you completely give away all your thoughts.
Kind of feels quite peaceful when we do that. It's nice. Like all of the chatter just calms.
Exactly. And even if it's just for 2 to 5 seconds, which is perfect, what you can recognize in that state of those 2 to 5 seconds of clarity with the clouds of your mind part, you literally realize the sky of consciousness, the freedom, the spaciousness of this moment. So you relax your mind for 2 to 5 seconds completely, and then you recognize what remains. Now, what remains is what we could call consciousness. There's the quality of presence. There's the quality of awareness. There's the quality of awakeness, of aliveness. And it's all right here. And you can tap into it at any given moment by simply remembering to take that 2 to 5 second moment throughout the day. I often say at least 12 times a day, take those 2 to 5 seconds where you give away all your ideas about anything and you become completely aware of what's here right now. So that consciousness, which is always already there, even when you are full of thought, even when you are completely disturbed, that same consciousness is what also witnesses the disturbed nature of your mind. It's what witnesses the turmoil of your emotion. And it's also what witnesses the clarity of those 2 to 5 seconds. But so even when you start back up with your thinking and your everyday activities, even then that same clarity that you discovered, the same spaciousness, the same presence you discovered in those 2 to 5 seconds of giving away all thought, it remains there. It's right there with you.
Mm.
Now, the more often you repeat that moment of clarity, the more often or the more obvious this natural state of presence, of peace, of consciousness will become, the more clear, the more vivid it becomes, so that life at some point becomes like a lucid dream, like a lucid living dream. And where I'm getting at with this is that this is the entrance point, right? Consciousness is the entrance point. It's the contact point of all points of view of existence. So as I see it, the absolute is infinity. It's the infinite one being that wants to express itself in infinite ways. That's why it generated creation. So imagine for a moment, for example, being before creation came into being, before all forms, before this universe came into being. Just infinite vastness, not even stars, not even galaxies, not even universes, just infinite indescribable, undifferentiated vastness or oneness or unity. Now, this infinite being, if you want to call it that, this infinity, this infinite one, wanted to experience itself. Because it wanted to experience itself, it started to generate consciousness of itself. It started to generate awareness of itself because in order to express itself, it needed experience. And you need consciousness, you need awareness to generate experiences. Then consciousness went on to create everything we see today. Just like your dream at night is completely generated inside of your consciousness, your dream during waking life is also completely generated inside of consciousness. It is all part of the one being's expression of itself. Now, every potential configuration of this universe, meaning that every single moment in creation is another angle of the one experiencing itself. It's another point of view. It's another potential experience that the one infinite being can have of itself. My question to you is, where has every single experience that you've ever had, where has that taken place? What has been the sole meeting point for every single one of your experiences? Now, you could say one happened in China, one happened in Australia, one's happening right now in this room. But if you go even deeper than location and physicality, where have all of your experiences met? And this is a question to all your listeners too.
Yeah, and I think that that was one of the questions that really started me thinking about the way that I actually do experience and the I that's doing the experiencing. Because as much as I can say that the coffee cup is at the end of the table right now, it's still occurring inside of my consciousness. It's experiencing, I'm experiencing it inside of my awareness. I am the one that's holding the awareness. It looks like it's at the other side of the table, but actually it's occurring inside of my own awareness. Exactly. And that was what made me realize, well, actually nothing is separate from me. In fact, it's so intimate for me, I can't escape it.
Mm.
I have a quick question on this because I know that our listeners would probably be curious about this, particularly those listeners who ascribe to the Big Bang theory, evolution, and, you know, more Christian denominations around the analogy that you gave there about how there was just the vastness. Imagine, you know, like it was an imagined vastness that wanted to experience itself and that needs consciousness in order to experience itself. And then it, you know, everything we see today is the expression of that and the individuated expressions of that. Where does this philosophy stand in terms of God and creation?
Depends on what you wish to call God. Often what I see is that when people refer to God, what they're talking about is this consciousness that we speak of. And sometimes when they say God, they're talking about the absolute. They're talking about that vastness, that infinity that came, that was there, that's the original source of even consciousness.
Gotcha.
And then Christ is referred to as the consciousness, the universal oneness field of consciousness or Christ consciousness. And the Son is then referred to as the individuation of that, the being that we are as an individual.
Gotcha.
So the Father is the absolute. Christ is the consciousness aspect, the awareness aspect, and then the Son is the individuation of that, the body-mind experience, the individual soul, if you will.
Do you find that that's something that comes up often, you know, with people that you speak for and to, that there is that misunderstanding for those that do hold a very religious viewpoint?
Well, with any thought is basically practically blocking the experience. Not ultimately, but the experience is that when I have a thought that I hold onto, that I see through, yeah, that I believe in, then I'm not clear on the fact that I'm awake right here, right now. Mm. I'm not noticing the inherent, the innate inseparability of this moment, the oneness that is at the heart of every experience, which is accessed through consciousness, which is accessed through this moment of those 2 to 5 seconds of mental clarity or mental stillness, if you will. So when I hold on to a religious idea, I'm seeing the religious idea and I'm pasting that onto every single experience I have. So I'm just filtering my lenses, in a sense. I'm filtering my it's like wearing glasses. I only see what I define.
Mm.
So it's crucial in order for us to really get a taste of oneness, because again, it's an experience. It's not a concept. It's not a label. It's not a thought. We have to be able to let go of concepts, labels, thoughts. And religion is a label. It's a concept. It's a thought. It's men created in that sense, in my experience. It's not originally innate to nature. It's not originally innate to consciousness. Religion is an idea. It's a belief system. And the belief system can definitely, when held onto, it can definitely cloud the direct realization of consciousness or oneness. And that's what we are after. That's the only thing that satisfies the search, is to really plunge into, to take that, to dive into this totally liberated free consciousness that's already available to us. It's what we already are, but we're clouding it with our beliefs.
You know, I think that that's a really powerful point that you've made there, particularly in light of, you know, the conditions that the world is going through right now. And I think that a lot of people are, well, not a lot, but I would say most people are clouded by their beliefs, whether it's religious or otherwise. Their life experience is clouded by their beliefs. And obviously that's all, you know, part of their experience, but it's, you know, I think that there's no, obviously there's no freedom there. And what you've mentioned there is the way through is the relinquishment of thought and the relinquishment of the belief and the relinquishment of the conditioning that we know better from. You know, most of us don't know any better. We only know what we know.
Yes, true. And it's fine. It's fine for these concepts to be there. We can totally choose our own path of thought and our path of belief. The problem is not so much the thoughts and the beliefs, because they're just expressions of consciousness, but they confirm consciousness, actually. They're beautiful confirmations. Because the moment you have a thought or a belief system, doesn't matter what it's about, but as soon as a thought arises, it basically proves that you're aware of it. It proves the field of consciousness within which it appears. So they're not obstacles in and of themselves. What turns them into obstacles is when they're too rigidly held onto and believed in. That's when we blind ourselves from the greater expanse of peace and connection to true God nature that is available to us now, when we relax our ideas for a moment.
So let's go back to how somebody can start to experience themselves this way. So you were talking about thought as part of it, so being in that 2 to 5 seconds. And I know for myself, the more time I spend there, the longer I'm able to spend there, and the longer I'm able to spend in that kind of state of being, the more I see and the more free and the more clear and the more empowered and all those sorts of wonderful things. So let's go back to talking about the practicalities of that and what that actually means for a person who right now is potentially living in a relationship they don't love, working in a job they can't stand. You know, it's a new year and they want to change things up, they want to do things differently, but they only know what they know, so they just keep repeating the same things all the time. What would you suggest? What are your...
All right, here would be my complete approach for both tapping into, like, grounding oneself in the peace that's already available, like the vastness of, in a sense, transcending your personhood for a moment, as well as combining that with setting forth upon a new path, like simultaneously. So in those situations, simply take that 2 to 5 second break. Like, just be really committed that when you get completely stressed out, you take a deep breath, you stop yourself, you pause yourself completely, you take a deep breath, and all you're asking yourself to do is for 2 to 5 seconds, you completely relax your mind and you plunge into this moment. You notice the awareness that was already aware of the moment even before you relaxed. You were already aware of your stress. You didn't have to do that. That was effortlessly there. So you tune into your effortless state of awareness, which later on in your experience will start to reveal itself as being unity, as being oneness. But for now, you can simply call it awareness or consciousness or clarity. So for those 2 to 5 seconds, you hit the reset button, you take a deep breath, you relax your mind, and you notice the presence, the clarity, the cognizance that's here right now of my voice, of this moment, of that moment, whatever that moment may contain. So you connect to the effortless state. Now, from that reset button, you can enter a new direction. So as soon as you feel like you're more centered again, like you're more centered in your sense of I am here, I exist, because that's basically the sense that remains when you stop thinking. It's simply a very clear and vivid sense, a basic fundamental sense of I exist, a universal sense, I am. And from that reset button of I exist, that clarity, that spaciousness, you start to what I call see it, feel it, and be it. Right? So there is a new focus in your life that you wish to implement. Now, we all have that. We all have desires, which is a natural force that allows evolution to evolve, which allows the individuation of consciousness, which is you, which is me, the agents of oneness, in a sense, to evolve and to express themselves more fully. So the way that we receive those higher signals is through desire. It's through passion. It's through resonance. So whenever you're truly passionate about something, whenever you desire a change in your life, that should not be necessarily pushed aside. Maybe just for 2 to 5 seconds to connect to the peace and contentment that's already here, but it shouldn't be permanently suppressed. Because, again, desire is your life force. It's your lifeline to your, what I would call your higher self, that connection to your higher wisdom, to your higher expression of who you truly are. And so you take that desire, whatever that may be, you've reset yourself from the stress for that moment. You recognize that there is perfectly present awareness right here. And you imagine or see what it is that you desire to be or become. What is that change that you wish to actually implement into your life? Now, this might be a spiritual realization. It might be, I wish to experience peace all the time, no matter what happens. Or it might be something as quote-unquote mundane as, I want that new car, or I want to live somewhere else. Doesn't matter. Don't make any distinction ultimately between materialism and spiritualism, because in the eyes of consciousness, there is no difference between these two. So simply take whatever resonates most, whatever you can come up with that excites you the most, because that's what's truest to the true self that you are, that wishes to come forth through your expression. So you've hit the reset button, you tap into what excites you the most that you can think of, what's the highest thought, what's the highest imagination you can tap into in that moment that excites you the most. Then you see it, you start seeing it, close your eyes if that helps you, but you visualize it, you see it. And what happens when you imagine something, you're literally taking your consciousness and you're tapping into a parallel reality, a parallel configuration of the universe that coexists within the oneness of consciousness, within the zero point field, in a sense, of unity, of this one being that we all are. So as soon as you imagine something, you're actually tapping into an alternate parallel reality. Now, that's the first step. It's the seeing of it. It's the visualizing of it. It's the imagining of it. The more vividly you imagine the details, the more you start to notice, you start to feel it. So now you shift from seeing to feeling. What happens again is that consciousness that you are, the I am consciousness, which is always already here, you can't escape being conscious, is now tuning into a parallel reality. Humans have labeled that imagination, but it's simply tuning into, remote viewing, a parallel reality. So you're doing that, you're imagining it, and because you're imagining it, your consciousness is literally downloading the frequency state of that parallel universe. And so you start to feel it. That's what feeling is. Feeling is starting to embody the beginning stages of embodying your visualization or your imagination. So you see it as clearly as you can until you start sort of dropping into that reality and you start to actually feel it. It starts to excite you. You start to feel like it's actually possible, like you actually deserve it, like it's actually yours, like it's actually a positive thing to desire that which you desire, that it's actually given to you, that it actually is a part of who you truly are and that you're completely worthy of that reality. So you start to feel it because you saw it, because you see it. Now, when you start to feel it, the next stage of this is to implement it. You implement it by being it, by becoming it. So you see it, you feel it, and then you be it. Now, what is the being aspect of it? You be what you see the moment you start to actually believe that it's true, the moment you start to become convinced of it. When you're convinced of it, when there's conviction in that which you first saw, and then you started to feel it, and now you start to be it, conviction happens when, or conviction signifies that our behavior, our belief system completely lines up with that parallel reality. Now, when we be it, then we've quite literally, and this may sound like fantastical or magical thinking, but for me, it's no longer the case because I've been living this for years. So I can say from my own honest direct experience that very literally, you have taken your consciousness into a parallel configuration of the universal energy field that is the love light field that makes up everything we see. You've altered your state of consciousness, and now you're shifted into an alternate parallel configuration of energy, may still look very similar in many ways to the other parallel reality you were creating before this. But now there are some significant differences which are reflective of what is relevant for you in the next stage of your life, the things you can learn from now, the things that are cutting edge for you at this point, the things that you desire that reflect your true heart's being, your true heart's essence, your true heart's desires. And so you started to see it until you started to feel it. And then when you felt it, you started to believe it. You started to become convinced of it. You started to know this is actually who I am. And then you started to be it. And your behavior and your actions and your responses to the universe started to become aligned with that new parallel reality that first excited you from a distance. But now you've actually taken your consciousness, your I am, your individuation of consciousness, and you've projected it into an alternate reality that looks similar body, but it's actually a parallel reality experience. And so you've shifted. The moment you integrate that knowledge, that new visualization, you have become it. And when you're being it and living it, that's when you start seeing these results reflected in your circumstances. Not that it matters that much, because what's the most important thing is that you know that what is up to you at all times is your state of being. It's how you feel. It's what you experience yourself as. So the primary source of your happiness should always be your chosen state of being, regardless of circumstances. Nevertheless, always, in a sense, believe in your desires and then see it, feel it, and be it until it has become your reality. So you reset yourself and then you see it, feel it, be it.
It's interesting what you're talking about. It has flavors of the law of attraction and it has flavors of that manifestation, that's been the big talk since The Secret came out. And
right.
I remember having a conversation with somebody many, many moons ago about how, you know, we can get in line with it and we can get happy and we can try to believe that we deserve it. But if there's an unconscious belief in there that's driving what's going on in our lives about the fact that we really don't deserve our deepest desires, then all the law of attraction in the world is not going to bring it about. So a lot of people would put a lot of energy into trying to believe that they are deserving. But, you know, when it didn't happen, it was just more evidence that they weren't deserving. So, you know, it just became this great compounding way of experiencing the law of attraction, which I think left a bit of a sour taste in people's mouths. Certainly people.
Oh, totally. Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very despondent people.
Yeah. But the way that you've explained it there, and I know for a lot of our listeners, that whole way of wrapping their minds around that alternate universe and all that parallel universe and shifting their consciousness into a new configuration, a new energetic configuration, may be a little hard to grasp right now. But even if they didn't invest themselves in that so much as what they invest themselves into, as you said, hitting the reset button, and then from that place, tapping into what really is their deepest desire, and then seeing it and feeling it and being it, I think that that's in and of itself even a way in.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Without all the baggage, you know, without
yes.
all the baggage of, but really I'm not good enough, but really I don't know if I can do this, or it's never worked for me before, or my dad said I couldn't do it. You know, without all of that sort of stuff that's been holding them back in the past, this kind of really gives them something that they can work with, where they kind of dismiss the old self and allow consciousness to be their experience in that 2 to 5 seconds, and then create from that place.
Totally. Beautiful, yes. So when you see that you're not your previous creation, then suddenly you're free to choose another creation. But like you said, the stress is delivered to ourselves when we try to change our reality from another reality. You can't change the reality you're in. You can only take yourself out of a reality and back into another reality, at which point it becomes effortless. And indeed, you need to have, in my experience, it really is helpful at least to have some basic experiential access to that which I spoke about very briefly at the start, which is that universal consciousness that we are, to hit that reset button, to take that moment of relaxation, letting go of your identity as it is now, so that you can get back into tune with the true, let's say, vibration or the true state of who you really are. And then that state will naturally dictate what to do next. It will naturally guide you into what to see, feel, and be quite effortlessly.
You know, I've got a program that I'm running at the end of February, and this show will go to air long before then. But I've got a program that I'm running where, you know, we're having conversations and entertaining conversations a lot like this around flow and how to be in that flow of consciousness where there's no effort, as you've said. And so I just love how articulate you are, because you're just so able to strike to the heart of the matter so quickly and make it so easy to understand, even if it's the first time somebody's hearing this. But I think that there's a much easier way for humanity to exist. And if this show this week has been for any purpose, it's really to start to have people start opening up their eyes and seeing that there is another way to experience this existence. And either way, the body will land up in a box. But there's potential to expand even more. There's a potential to become even more aware. There's potential to be experiencing love at much more ecstatic levels than what humanity is experiencing right now. And if we're to look at ourselves, we're in pain and we're suffering. And, you know, as you say, ultimately it's same, but really for people that are living inside of those, I call them a skin bag. For people that are, you know, the souls that are living inside of those skin bags, they are suffering and they just don't know a way out.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I agree.
Yeah. And it's global. And I think with where people turn to try to find their answers, potentially we're just turning more of our awareness outside to, you know, more religions or more indoctrinated ways of thinking, or even, as I say, the law of attraction and manifestation. It was just another way that's outside of myself to have something better than what I've got.
Yes. No, we need integrated consciousness. We need an integrated way of understanding what we actually are. So all the stuff I talk about that looks or that resembles the law of attraction, to me, it's such an experiential thing that it's no longer separate and it has nothing to do with the outside world. In fact, on a day-to-day basis, I don't ever experience an outside world anymore. I only experience that this is my dream inside of consciousness. So there's no sense of an outside world. So that struggle for me has ended. So I understand that when I speak of it from my perspective, it might be slightly different for me than how it can come across, but definitely we need that integrated consciousness that once we experience the nature of consciousness, we can start to understand these universal mechanics or principles of vibration, frequency, parallel realities, shifting your consciousness into who you truly are from a very organic place, from a very effortless, like you said, like being in flow, not resisting yourself and then trying to make a change from a state of resistance, but being in flow and from flow, understanding who you truly are. And just stopping the resistance, because basically that's what law of attraction is. It's allowing in what's already wanting to come your way. It's stopping the resistance. It's not so much being in a state of resistance and then resisting or trying your way into something else. It's all about letting go of the resistance, because the natural way of the universe is to bring to you everything that's already a reflection of who you really are. So if the things you truly desire don't show up circumstantially, which is still inside of consciousness, it's not an external world. But if things don't show up inside of your field of consciousness that truly are a representation of who you really actually are at the core of your being and how you wish to express yourself, if these things are not showing up, it's purely because you're not letting yourself be yourself. There's beliefs and ideas that limit who you are. You feel responsible for certain things. You're judging yourself all the time, perhaps. So then that reset button is absolutely crucial. Just to come to the fundamental state of the nature of reality, which is consciousness, ever-present, all-allowing, all-inclusive, already here consciousness, which is hearing my voice right now. It's completely inclusive of my voice, whether you generate resistance to my voice or not. It's completely inclusive of the entirety of your experience. That means, that signifies that whatever goes on for you, however you're feeling, whatever your state of being may be, you can always let that moment be as explosive as it wants to be, as wild as it wants to be, But you can set that moment free without having to change any of the thoughts per se, any of the feelings or emotions or any of the beliefs. But by simply taking those 2 to 5 seconds of absolute tension relaxation, and by that I simply mean not believing that you have a right to hold on to any opinion about yourself or that moment. No judgment of what's going on. You just let that experience be as wild as it wants to be. You stop fearing it for 2 to 5 seconds. Everyone can do this for just a few seconds. In that moment, we will be shown the nature, the all-allowing state, and the effortless allowance that's already at the heart of our experience every single moment, no matter what's showing up inside of consciousness. Consciousness has never been at war with itself. Your presence, your here and now awareness, that which is right now perceiving my voice, has never ever noticed conflict. It has always already been peaceful. When you connect to that state of being and you stop giving credit and meaning to the thoughts and emotions and the turmoil that comes up for you, then suddenly your identity shifts from what I call I am this to I am, or to even pure I-ness or pure awareness. Mm. So you make an identity shift first. You can't really understand the law of attraction and you can't really implement it appropriately if you're in a state of I am this resistance. You need to be in a more expansive state of consciousness and know the nature of reality, and that needs to ease your fear and take away the idea that lack can ever occur to you, that lack has ever existed. And when you're in a lackless state of consciousness, a totally abundant state of consciousness, then all that law of attraction stuff naturally becomes your own. It becomes a natural expression of who you are.
As opposed to using the law of attraction as a tool for manipulating a reality that doesn't serve you right now.
Exactly.
Into another reality which still won't serve you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's profound. It's absolutely profound. So, Bentinho, what's your life like? What's it like to be you?
It's indescribable, honestly. I'll say a few things. One is that it's hard for me to even remember who I was 1 week ago. So that means, why I'm saying that is because things move so fast for me. Energy accelerates so fast. My expansion happens so fast these days that I do not recognize myself from a week ago. If I see a video of myself on, say, YouTube, I give like weekly free live stream meetings. So, so when I see a glimpse of a video from last week, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Who's that person? That's the feeling of it. What does he have to say? It feels like such a constant shifting into parallel realities and parallel versions of ever greater expressions of who I truly am and desire to be and what's natural for me, that this is what we call acceleration. And it just makes for time to become so illusory. Time and space becomes illusory. I don't experience an external world. I don't experience solid physical things. I don't experience fear of death. I don't experience all these things that most people struggle with on a day-to-day basis. And I don't say this to brag. I'm just saying this because you asked me, but also to signify or to show that this is actually possible. And if it's possible for a 26-year-old guy, then it's definitely possible for anyone else. And it doesn't require that much. It just requires clarity. It just requires effectiveness, effective instruction, effective guidance and waking up. And obviously that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I can't imagine anyone else not wanting to live like this, you know? So having so much access to love and bliss and light at will, like not even at will, but just naturally, you just overflow and you see the contrast of your state of being with that of most people, and you can't help but feel compassionate and want to overflow in that direction. And of course, you have to respect their free will. If they don't wish to choose at this point to wake up, there's absolutely nothing I can do for them. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, I'll try my best to make my teachings as effective, as accessible, and as freely available as I can, so that those that do wish to taste of it, those that do wish to wake themselves up, if they resonate with my means and my instruction of doing so, that at least they have that place to do so. But yeah, my experience is quite amazing, I have to say. It's quite awe-inspiring. It's quite mind-blowing on a day-to-day basis. And it just keeps, the weird thing is it just keeps expanding. There is no end to this bliss, to this expansion. Every time you think you realize something, the very next day it's just shattered and something even more profound, or another shift had completely rendered the previous realization irrelevant. So you just keep shifting. At some point, you don't feel like you have solid ground to stand on anymore in the traditional sense of the word. Mm. And you get used to just free-falling. You get used to absolutely shifting into whatever it is you desire to shift into. And this becomes natural and automatic. And then the ground that you're standing on is really just the truth of your own being. That's what you're standing on. And then it's no longer scary. Once you realize the nature of reality and you see how energy operates, you're no longer afraid to not have solid physical ground or a solid static reality that's the same for 40 years every single day and that offers you some kind of security. You no longer need that because now you're dancing on the waves of consciousness and vibration directly. So you no longer need those insecure intermediary means or symbols or permission slips to feel safe. You simply feel safe because you're eternal consciousness. And you know that there is infinite abundance at every given moment of existence. Within every molecule of existence, the whole is contained. Again, that oneness principle, that infinite abundance principle. And so you start living from that space, and it completely shifts your identity. It completely shifts your worldview, and it completely shifts you from suffering into near constant bliss, I would say, or joy or gratitude or freedom, liberation, empowerment.
So your days are filled with working with others along the lines of the same message or awakening?
Yes, I would say so. I have a little team of people around me, and we're working all kinds of projects to just get the message out there in different ways. Mm. Some are oriented around me as a teacher, but there's also projects we're working on that have nothing to do with me as a teacher, but it's just to generate and promote more consciousness of awakening in general. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I work with my team every day. I give weekly meetings in Boulder, Colorado, where I live, at the Integral Center.
Yeah,
I live stream that as often as I can. It's freely available on YouTube, or if people go to bentinhomasarolife.com, they can just tune in every Monday evening, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, for free, so they can get their weekly dose of clarity if that resonates for them. Working on this academy still that has launched, but it's like an online school for enlightenment and empowerment, combining that aspect of self-realization with the aspect of self-actualization and combining them in harmony so that both the oneness is understood and the consciousness is understood, but also the ways in which that expresses itself in everyday life is understood and mastered. And there's some other projects that I'm not disclosing yet, but they're very exciting.
Well, that's wonderful. And that academy, that's only relatively new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's launched about a month and a half ago, and we're still improving it and working on the content of it and all that. But it's ready to go, and people are signing up. So it's pretty exciting to see, to be able to offer this step by step. Because I noticed in my meetings and in my retreats that I kept repeating the same steps over and over again, right? People ask the same questions, which is absolutely understandable.
Yeah.
But it didn't allow, especially for the frequent retreaters, so to speak, it didn't allow for the retreats to fully take off as much as it could.
Yeah.
And it didn't allow for me to be as excited as I could be about these retreats as when people would actually have the same fundamental understanding already in place before they come to those meetings and retreats. And that's one of the reasons why I started the academy, so that I can lead people through it very effectively, step by step by step by step. And they don't have to confuse themselves with what to realize, when to realize it. They can simply be taken by the hand, and they don't have to be confused and struggle as I did when I was seeking in India and studying and meditating and trying and meeting teachers. I just want to make it simple for people so that they can continue their everyday lives. You know, not everyone has the chance to go to India for half a year or to Well, everyone has that chance, obviously, but not many people take it. We have families and all that stuff. So in order for, you know, everyday people with everyday lives, still special people, but just everyday lives, to really give give back this gift that I found in such a way that people can take it step by step and they don't have to worry about the seeking process of it, because I've done that as clearly as I could. I've distilled what works from what does not work as best as I could. I've always had this sort of teacher mind innate in me ever since I was born. So this is one of my skills. This is one of my talents. This is why I'm here. And so I've made this as distinct as I can make it and as simple as I can make it step by step. And I'm really excited for people, honestly. I'm really excited for this age in humanity's evolution too.
I think so too, because I think that the possibility of waking up is absolutely there in a way that it's never been before.
You know, absolutely.
As an alternate reality, an alternate way of living, whereas previously I think we've just been stuck, so we didn't know what else we didn't know what we didn't know. Whereas I think now
that, absolutely,
that this is really out there. people are diving in with both feet and finding a new perspective and a new truth. Yep. So that academy is Trinfinity Academy, and I'm actually going to make sure that I post all of the links to your website, to Trinfinity, to your YouTube videos, so that people can subscribe and watch and listen to your videos. I'm going to post all of those links underneath this show so that if anybody's looking for you, they can find you anywhere and everywhere.
Beautiful.
This has been an enlightening and an enlivening conversation, Bentinho. Honestly, I feel completely inspired. And here in Australia, it's the morning, and I know in Colorado, it's the evening. So I feel like I've got the whole world ahead of me for the rest of the day.
Oh, beautiful.
It's going to be an amazing day. But thank you so much for taking the time to share so articulately, as I've already said, what you've experienced and your state of being and the experience of consciousness in a way that our audience can at least start to understand the flavor and start to understand the possibility and the potential that lies inside of themselves when they call off the search and you know, turn their gaze inside rather than out. So Thank you so, so very much. I'm absolutely honored and I can't wait. I was in Boulder, Colorado last year and I should have come to see you. And I was actually speaking there. But
I love that. Okay. Next time.
Yeah, next time. Next time I will definitely be there and I'll come to one of your retreats too. I look forward to that.
Sweet.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much once again. And for all of our listeners, make sure that you go and check out Bentinho's websites and start to follow him and start to get a new understanding as a new set of tools if it's just the beginning taste for you. So make sure that you check out all of those websites. Make sure that you also go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. And when you have finished listening to this podcast and you've turned it off, the first thing that I want you to do is I want you to go straight to our Facebook page at allthews.facebook.com/Karen's Couch. And I want you to just unload. Tell me everything that you've thought about today's podcast, all the questions that you've got, anything that you want to know, any additional clarity, and wherever I can help you, I will help you. But I can tell you now there is just a library of resources that I can refer you to, and majority of it comes from Bentinho. And if you're flirting with going to an online school for spiritual awakening, I can't think of anything more extraordinary to do with your hours and your day. So make sure that you have a look at Bentinho's new academy. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. This has been an absolute treat. Can't wait to hang out with you again next week, where we bring the truth to your unanswered questions right here on Karen's Couch. Bye for now.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives. Whilst the Wellness Couch presenters endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.